Welcome to the Bible Expositors Podcast with Stephen Baker, taking you verse by verse through the Word of God from the pulpit of Harmony Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia.
So we will be in James chapter 1, and we'll be concluding the message that was started this morning. We talked this morning about how to overcome temptation. Or how to deal with temptation. And this evening, we are talking about using the Word of God to defeat temptation. And that'll be James chapter 1, verses 19 through 25. You remember from this morning, the first thing that we said was from verse 13, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with either evil, neither tempteth he any man." And the first thing we said was, is don't blame God for temptation. And then the second thing we said was, verse 16 says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren," which means don't be deceived. And the second thing we said was, don't be deceived by temptation. And then the third thing that we said this morning, right before we left and went to lunch, was, use the Word of God to defeat temptation. But I didn't preach that part, so we're going to preach that this evening. So starting in verse 19, the Word of God says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." So we're going to talk about hearing the Word of God and using the Word of God to defeat temptation. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I thank you for letting us be in your house this evening. I do pray now that you would forgive me for my sins. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach, and those that are saved as they hear. I do pray that you would bless us tonight and help us to receive your word and to learn from your word. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So the first thing that we see from verse 19 of James chapter 1 is that we need to hear the Word of God. We need to hear it. The Bible says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." Now, I have used this verse many times for teaching both myself and others about how to deal with losing your temper. If someone's angry at you and you're angry with them, the first thing you should do is be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. So you close your mouth and listen. And that's hard to do. Don't speak, listen. That's the first thing. And I've got a whole study on that that I often don't apply to my own marriage, but I need to. But the first thing I'm supposed to do if my wife is mad at me is close my mouth and listen.
Amen.
That, but in the context of the verse, it is talking about that, but it is talking primarily here about being swift to hear from God. And so what we're seeing here is that we need to be quick to hear from God. And the way we hear from God is to hear the Word of God. And so that means that we need to be reading the Bible every day. Every day we should get in the Bible and read a portion of Scripture every single day. And some people have a read the Bible through in a year plan. Some people read the Bible chronologically. Some people read a chapter of Proverbs a day. It doesn't really matter what plan you're using. Just use something to get in the Word of God and read it every day. And if we're not in the Word of God every day, then we're not hearing from God, right? Because that's the way God speaks to us. So get in the Bible every day. I used to, when I would travel, I had CDs of the Bible. Alexander Scorby reading the Bible, and I put those in, listened to them while I traveled between Dalton and Knoxville when I was in Bible college. Now you can you can get the Bible on your smartphone. So if you have an iPhone, you know, you can get the Bible app and it will read the Bible to you. And there's different ways that you can get the Bible to listen to it. So let every man be swift to hear. We need to hear from God, and we need to hear the Word of God. Now, another part of hearing God's Word is memorizing it. The Bible says in Psalm 119:11, "Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee." So memorizing God's Word will keep us from sin. So we need to hear the Word of God. We need to memorize the Word of God. And the Bible says in James 1:20, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Now, this is always important to remember, is any time that I'm not listening to what God has to say, and instead I'm wanting to speak, and I get angry, and so I say something in anger, then the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. I don't know if you've ever been there, but if you get in an argument with your spouse, then you realize that when you fly off the handle, that that's not working God's will in your marriage. Everybody understand that? I mean, if you cuss out your spouse, it's not God's will. It's not working out God's will. So you've got to learn to listen, to hear. There's a joke in there somewhere, but I can't remember how the joke goes, so I'm not going to tell it. But at any rate, we've got to learn to hear, because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. By the way, a lot of times, when we don't read the Word of God, we're not in the Word of God, we're not hearing what God has to say, then when something goes wrong in our lives, then we'll get mad at God and blame God and do a lot of talking and not a lot of listening, and the wrath of man is not working the righteousness of God. Some people are so angry at God for things that have happened in the past that they go around and talk about the church and about God all the time in a derogatory way. And that's not working God's righteousness. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. By the way, the Bible says, "A fool uttereth all his mind." This is Proverbs 29:11. "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." And you probably met people before that just say whatever pops in their head. Just say what they think. I was going to direct that towards somebody, but he's not here. So, but at any rate, I've done that before, haven't you? You know, something pops in your head and you just tell everybody everything. That's one of the things my wife's gotten on to me about for years, is the fact that I tend to divulge too much information or tell everybody everything, don't I, dear? Yes. And so I've learned, hopefully I'm better now at, yes, she's nodding. Okay, I'm good. So, I've learned, that's correct. Some things need to be private and not to utter everything that's in my mind. "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." You're always wiser if you keep it in till afterwards, because when you're angry, you'll say some pretty stupid things. There's a story about Abraham Lincoln, during the Civil War, where he got mad at one of his generals, I think it was McClellan, because he'd been losing, battles, and so he wrote this scathing letter and then burned it in the fire, I think is how the story goes. And, that was a wise thing to do, because much better not speak out of anger. "So a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards." So we need to hear the Word of God. Do less talking and more listening. Hear the Word of God. Now, secondly, the Bible teaches that we need to receive the Word of God. We need to receive it. James 1:21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's a fancy way of saying an overflow of malice and wickedness. We're to lay it aside, superfluity of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Now, the Bible says we're to receive the engrafted word of God with meekness. The word meekness means humility, submitting to God's will in spite of what we think. Now, that's hard to do because it takes faith. Something doesn't make sense to you, but the Word of God says you're supposed to do a certain thing, so you do it even though it doesn't make sense. For instance, the Bible says, give unto the Lord of thy substance and the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth with new wine. When you got bills to pay, it doesn't make sense to pay your tithe or your offerings or to give to the church first or to give to God's work first. And I do believe that you ought to support God's work first in the local church. Amen? Amen. Because if everybody doesn't support the local church, then there won't be any money to pay the light bill and all the other bills. And so we have to do that. But I've been in a place in my life, though, where, you know, my pay was cut. I was making as much in a month as I used to have made in a week. And I had to pay my mortgage, and I had to pay this and that, and all the things that I had to pay. And there were some things I couldn't pay, and so we went through the whole thing there. But one thing I tried to do is I tried to give something to the church every week, or every time I got paid, rather, because I didn't have it every week, every time I got paid. And I did that, and then God started increasing the amount that I had. Now, I'm not one of those health and wealth people, you know, the false prophets on TV that tell you that if you give, that God will bless you and you'll have Mercedes and the great mansions and all this kind of nonsense. Because I was tithing and giving, and we lost almost everything we had. So I didn't see health and wealth. But what I did see was that God took care of us through that time and gave me a job and put us back on our feet. And then he gave me a better job, and he kept putting us back on our feet more and more. And we kept giving and increasing what we were giving because God allowed us to and we wanted to. You see. And so the thing is, we've got to trust God. That was a rabbit trail, but somebody, I'm sure somebody needed it if I didn't need it. But the point is that we've got to submit to God's will in spite of what we think, in spite of what makes sense. And that is meekness, humility. And the Bible says we need to receive with meekness the engrafted word. And here's what John Gill says about this. And I thought this was fantastic. I had never seen this before. Receive with meekness the engrafted word, which becomes so, it becomes engrafted when it is received, when it is put into the heart by the Spirit of God and is mixed with faith by them that hear it, so that it is, as it were, incorporated into them and becomes natural to them, which before was not, and taking deep root in them brings forth much fruit. See, what Gill is saying is that as we receive the Word of God and mix it with faith and act on it, then it becomes engrafted into us and it brings forth much fruit. And I think that's just fantastic. James 1:21 says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And we talked about that before, superfluity means an overflow or an overabundance, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And I'm going to read a quote here, which I saw last night on Facebook by Pastor James Tisdale. He's one of my friends, but I don't remember if his name is John or James. But at any rate, I've got it at the end of this quote. It's James Tisdale, but he's a pastor in Texas, but this is what he said. No wonder some Christians get nothing out of a sermon or from reading the Bible. Think of all the filthiness, the rank outgrowth of wickedness and evil attitudes that have never been laid aside, because that's what this passage here is talking about. Lay apart or lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the ingrafted word. And he goes on to say, no one can sit in a church with a heart full of unconfessed sin, with an evil spirit, and be in any condition to receive the word of God. There must be a teachable and receptive spirit that is ready to receive the word and hide it in the heart. Now, that's the truth. And I know that's true because I've done that myself. I've come to church, not wanting to be there, been bitter at various people and sat there, and you don't get anything at all out of the service. You just sit there and think, why am I here? God's not even on this place. But the thing is, when we're not right with God, we don't have the discernment to know whether God's on the place or not, because it may be if 50 other people around you are getting something out of the message and you're sitting there, I don't get anything out of this, then maybe the problem's with you. And so it certainly was with me. The third thing we need to do, we need to hear the word of God, we need to receive it, and the third thing is we need to obey the word of God. By the way, on the difference between hearing and receiving, there are children that sit in school every year that hear the teacher but don't receive what the teacher's saying. You know, I used to sit in math class, and I hated math, and I would hear the teacher, and I didn't really receive what the teacher was saying because I didn't understand what the teacher was saying. It didn't make any sense. So we need to not only hear, but also receive. We need to accept it. There were many that heard Jesus that did not receive him. So there's people that sit in church and hear, and hear and hear, and never receive. There's an old story, I believe it was, wasn't there a Soviet leader, Khrushchev? Didn't he used to be a leader of the Soviet Union? Okay, if I'm remembering the story correctly, because I've heard this years ago, that he, when he was a young man, actually studied the New Testament, was able to memorize several books of the New Testament. And, of course, he grew up to be an atheist and a leader of the Soviet Union and all that kind of a thing. But you can... And I don't know if that story's true. I just heard a preacher say it, but preachers say all kinds of things. But the point is it makes a good point. And the point is that a person can hear. There's many people that sit in seminaries, that sit in different places and hear the word of God, but never receive it themselves. And I think that's one of the great problems with American Christianity is our churches are full of people that know lots of things. They know lots of information, but they never put any of it into practice. They don't practice it. They know it, but they don't do it. They don't practice it. And that kind of leads us to our next point as well. We need to obey the word of God. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now you see, this would be like if I wake up in the morning and I look in the mirror and I see that there's a speck of dirt on my nose and I don't do anything about it. I just see it. Now, there's dirt on my nose. I don't do anything about it. And so then I just walk away and go through the rest of the day, and then I forget that there's dirt on my nose. And people all day, maybe they don't want to say anything, so they're just kind of laughing, pointing, but they don't say anything. And so it doesn't really change anything unless you see it and wipe the dirt off your nose. That's what he's saying here. He's saying that a person who hears the word and doesn't obey it is like a man looking in a mirror, beholding his natural face in a glass, who straightway walketh away and forgets what manner of man he was. He forgets what he looks like. But the Bible says in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Notice several things from this verse. One is the Bible says, not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. The Bible has things for us to do. It has work for us to do. And so we're not supposed to be a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. If we wonder why the Bible is not changing our lives, it is probably because we're simply hearing it and not doing what it says. For only when we do what the Bible says can the Bible be activated in faith and change our lives. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. So James is given the illustration of a mirror looking at yourself, and now he's paralleling that with looking into the Word of God. And he's saying when you look in the Word of God, it's like looking into a mirror. It shows you what needs to change. And it does. The Bible says that the Word of God divides asunder the joint and marrow. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces through. It shows us what needs to change. And as we look in the Bible, we see these things that we need to change. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, I must say this as we're looking at this perfect law of liberty. The perfect law of liberty, some people think, because James puts an emphasis, this is one of the first books in the New Testament that was written. And people that have thought that James was teaching salvation by works in here, which he is not, but people that have thought that have thought here that when he says the perfect law of liberty, that he's talking about the Old Testament law. But actually what he's talking about here, he's talking about the Word of God, but he's specifically talking about the law of Christ, because we know that the Old Testament law, all the things we've been studying on Wednesday night, brings liberty. It does not bring liberty, but it brings a burden. Even the dietary laws. They talk about you can't eat fish, can't eat that, you can't have bacon for breakfast, you can't eat any escargot. That may not bother you, but it bothers me because I like snail. I don't hardly get to eat it, but I like it. You can't hardly find it. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the perfect law of liberty is not talking about bringing people under the burden of the Old Testament laws. It is talking about the law of Christ, which is a law of freedom. For instance, Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. John 13:34-35, Jesus says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And James says in James 2:8, if ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. And Romans 13:10 says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, the thing about the law of Christ is that Jesus Christ gave commands to us, and he gave some very simple summaries of the law. He said you're supposed to love your brother. He talked about loving your neighbor. And he talked about having faith in God, trusting God. And the truth of the matter is, everything that the Old Testament teaches, if we were to study this whole passage in Romans 13, everything that the Old Testament teaches about our duty towards man, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, all those things, honor thy father and thy mother, everything the Old Testament teaches about our duty towards man is summed up with love your neighbor as yourself. And Romans says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, the Old Testament talked about obeying those commandments, and if you didn't, you would die. But the New Testament talks about fulfilling the law. And that's what Christ does for us. He writes the law in our heart when we're born again, and we're able to live out that law through love and through faith. In fact, if you're studying the Old Testament and you ever get confused, all the laws in the Old Testament can be divided up into three categories, basically. Three big categories. You have your ceremonial laws, which is all your sacrifices, your dietary laws, all those things were ceremonial laws. They were ceremonies that pointed towards Jesus Christ. But now that Jesus Christ has come, those laws were nailed to the cross with him and fulfilled in Christ. The second type of law that we see in the Old Testament was Jewish civil law. And these were laws that pertain to the nation of Israel. And since we're not Jews and living in the old nation of Israel, then those laws don't pertain to us. So when the Bible gave the laws about the Sabbath, and said, for instance, that on the Sabbath you're not supposed to start a fire and you're not supposed to do all these different kind of things on Saturday, and it gave all these laws, they were given to the nation of Israel and people that came to dwell in the nation of Israel. They're not ceremonial laws necessarily, and they're not moral laws. They're more laws, Jewish civil laws. And there were many Jewish civil laws, like the death penalty was given for a variety of different things that we don't have in the United States now. And some people believe that we should take all the Jewish laws and put them on the United States and have God's government. But if you did that, then if a kid talked rude to his parents, the parents could take the kid out and stone him to death. And so that was part of the Jewish laws. I think they had to curse their father and mother, and then they could be stoned to death. But there's those two types of laws. There's ceremonial laws fulfilled in Christ, and there's Jewish civil laws that pertain to the nation of Israel. And then you have moral laws. And moral laws are matters of right and wrong. And they're things that have always been wrong and are still wrong. For instance, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Now, those things were wrong then, and they're still wrong now. Now, all the moral laws have been carried over into the New Testament, into the law of Christ. They just work a little bit differently now for the believer. For the unsaved person, we use things like the Ten Commandments. We preach the Ten Commandments to show them that they are lost and that they need Christ, because the Bible says the law is a schoolmaster to lead us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. But for those of us who are saved, God has written his laws in our hearts and in our minds. So he has made it so that we can fulfill the law. And the way we fulfill our duty towards man is by loving our brothers. If we love our brother, then we fulfill the duty. If we love our neighbor, we fulfill the law. All right? Now, that was a lot of explanation, but is everybody with me? Everybody follow me? All right? Because I don't want you to get confused. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, James 1:25 says this, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, it's interesting that James calls the law of Christ. There's freedom in Christ, but why is law freedom? Why is it the law of liberty? Why is law freedom? Because we don't think of rules as being freedom. But think about this. There's a speed limit outside of the church. I don't know what the speed limit is on this road, but there's a speed limit out here. And let's say that it's 55. It may not be 55, but I'm going to say it's 55. All right? If I go out of this church and I drive down through here at 90 miles an hour, then I say, oh, I'm free. I can drive at 90 miles an hour in a 55. But when the police pull me over, I'm no longer free. You see, the restriction of 55 was keeping me free, even though it's law. Now, let's say I do that a bunch of times and I lose my license. You see, then I'm really not free because I can't even go anywhere. So you see, law, if we follow the law of Christ, then that keeps us free. For instance, if you love your neighbor, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. So if we love our neighbors, we won't steal from our neighbors. If we don't steal, we won't end up in jail. So law is keeping us free. There's been an illustration used. I'm sure you've heard it before, but it's a good illustration. There was a guy that owned a little dog. We own a little dog. His name is Emmett. We have a big dog and a little dog. The big dog is vicious and mean, and the little dog thinks he's vicious and mean, but he's not very threatening because he's tiny. So there was a guy that had a little dog, and he kept it in a fence, and the next-door neighbor had a big bulldog. And the little dog would always go up to the fence and jump and growl at the bulldog, and he would go, you know how little dogs bark. And what he was saying was, I want my freedom. I want my freedom. I want my freedom. But what happens if he gets his freedom? If he gets his freedom, the bulldog will eat him for lunch. So the restriction, the rules actually protect him. And that's what the law of liberty does for us. Christ's law protects us from getting in trouble and having things go bad. Because enough bad stuff happens without you making it worse by breaking the law of liberty. So that's why the Bible calls it the perfect law of liberty, is because law is actually bringing us freedom in this case. And the Bible says that a man who looks into that perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. I love the old song. It says, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Faith and obedience. Faith and obedience. So how do we defeat temptation? We need to hear the Word of God. We need to receive the Word of God, and we need to obey the Word of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. Visit us on the web at thenationsforchrist.com and harmonybconline.com.